Good day and welcome to the Services and Supports Training Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Adele Barr, TPM's Training Department Manager. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today for the Services and Supports Review. I'll go right into our introductions. In the room here, we have Jenny Purdom, our Program Integrity Manager, and we have Kara Kaplan, the Deputy Director. So without any further ado, we'll just go right into our objectives for today. After completing the training, you should be able to describe the services and supports review process. You'll be able to conform to updated contact and documentation policies, and you'll be able to locate and complete an employment network certification of services form, also known, of course, as the EN cost. And also, you'll be able to properly safeguard personally identifiable information, PII, by creating an encrypted zip file. We had policy change, and that's one of the reasons why we are here today. On May 3rd, you should have received a Gov delivery message, and it was regarding the acceptable contact methods and documentation. So the new policy is a part of a review process called Services and Supports Review, which replaces the individual work plan review process. And this training will detail the entire process and provide all of the specific details for meeting the new policy requirements, as well as successfully participating in a services and supports review. So let's move right ahead on to the overview of the review process. Okay, well, what is a services and supports review? It is a review of EN documentation to verify that the EN is actively working with ticket holders and providing the services and supports agreed upon in the signed individual work plans. And every EN will go through a services and supports review on a yearly basis. The ticket program manager will send a request for documentation from a random sampling of Social Security numbers currently assigned to the EN. Now, what is required with this documentation? Well, what is included with it? Case notes with proof of ongoing contact and services and supports provided, IWPs, and COS statements. Okay, here on slide 7, you'll see a visual for the process flow. As I indicated, there's a request for documentation. We have responding to the request, and then the outcome summary report. Okay, so let's go over requests for documentation. And the first part will be when you receive the request. An encrypted request form will be sent using standard encryption PIN. And this is going to go out to the signatory authority, the program contact, and a ticket holder contact. Now, as the EN, you are responsible to respond within 9 business days with the requested documentation. ENs are responsible for communicating internally to ensure that only one individual responds to the request and does so in a timely manner. A courtesy copy of the cost form will also be sent to the ENs with this request. Good for you to know. Okay, well, what about opening the encrypted request form? You will use your EN's encryption password to unlock the document. As you see here, we have an example, TTWE, plus the last 4 digits of your contract award code. And as an example, you see TTWEAE1234. The request form will contain a list of Social Security numbers and state at the top of the form to send with that correlating Social Security number, IWP and cost, or you will just simply see where it's requesting only a cost. Always send case notes regardless of which version of the request you receive. Keep going on to responding to the request and talk a little bit more about case notes on slide 12. So when responding to the request, be sure to include any case notes that will provide proof of ongoing contact or documented contact attempts. demonstrate services and supports provided,
including dates,
provide evidence for information requested on the EN cost. Now, also make references to the case notes on page 2 of the cost form instead of duplicating
the content. For example, if you have well-documented case notes and can refer to them, just simply, like they're simply clearly labeled by page number or file name,
just indicate that so you're not doing that all over again. And also include where on the page that you're referencing if it's applicable. Okay, let's talk about mandatory regular contact on slide 13. You're aware ENs are required to maintain regular contact with all assigned ticket holders. For ticket holders who are currently in the initial support phase, contact should be made at least monthly. This shouldn't be anything new. Now, if you're unable to make contact, you want to leave a phone message and document the process using the telephone message documentation form. After 3 months without contact, you want to send a certified letter and document the process using the certified letter documentation form. Then you have those ticket holders who are in the ongoing support phase. So in the initial support phase, that's the pre-employment time, and here on the ongoing support phase, that's post once they've been employed, this contact should be made at least quarterly. If you're unable to make contact, again, you want to leave a phone message and document the process using the telephone message documentation form. And after 6 months without contact, you do want to send a certified letter and document the process using the certified letter documentation form. And, well, I also do recall it doesn't necessarily need to be certified. Certified is one way to send it in. Another option for you, if you go ahead and mail it in, but hold on to that receipt. In other words, you can go to the post office, first class mail, and get a copy of that receipt that you sent out this mail and keep it in their files. Okay. And, of course, yes, keep a copy of that letter in the file. So, again,
these are different options
that you have, but, again, it's all about documentation. So make sure that you have all things in their file. Okay, well, what about the telephone messaging documentation? So here on slide 14, you see a standard documentation form that can be used for telephone messages, and it is located on your tickettowork.ssa.gov. And once you're there, you want to go to the information center. Then you can go to forms on the left-hand side, and it will be located under services and supports. The top portion of the form does contain a scripted prompt that can be either left as a voicemail or a second form leaving a message with an individual. So basically what this is for, it's a script designed to help prevent accidentally disclosing PII. And if you make note at the bottom of that form, it does contain fillable fields that can be used to document phone messages. So again, this documentation form itself is optional, but the information must be documented somewhere. Perfect example, case notes. Again, you'll probably keep hearing me say case notes documentation, very important. Okay, so we'll go on to the certified letter documentation on slide 15. Additionally, a standard documentation form is available for certified letters as well in the same location of the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. At the top portion of the form contains a template language for a certified letter. Just be sure to keep, as I indicated earlier, keep the receipt of the certified letter and the delivery confirmation. And if you also make note, the bottom of the form contains fillable fields for documenting certified letters, just as we did with the telephone documentation. Now, both forms are optional methods for documenting mandatory regular contact. Just as a reminder, even though that form is optional, maintaining the documentation is not.
Okay, well, what is an EN cost? ENs must occasionally complete an EN certification of services statement to provide proof that the services and supports provided to ticket holders align with the services agreed upon in an IWP. What are some of the things that need to be on this form when you submit it? During random reviews of IWPs and documentation of services, to determine the number of claims eligible for ENs following a ticket holder's unassignment of a ticket, and to perform quality assurance reviews as stated in the ticket program agreement. Always remember to submit all three pages of the cost form, and page 3 of the form must be signed and dated. So that's what the cost is about. What I'm going to do now is we're going to go talk about safeguarding PII prior to sending a response, and that's on slide 17. It is important to ensure that all files are encrypted before they are sent to TPM. And since it is likely that you'll be sending multiple files at once, TPM has developed a simplified process for sending multiple encrypted documents simultaneously using a program called 7-Zip. So the following slides contain step-by-step instructions for creating an encrypted zip file. And alternatively, organizations that already use WinZip can use WinZip to create encrypted zip files. Just be sure not to use PII file names as file names, and this can be intercepted during transit even if the files are located in an encrypted zip. So just be sure that you're not using names for the file name, and you never want to encrypt the file names, as most commercial email clients will mark the file as malicious and the file may never reach TPM. And as I've indicated, the next few slides are the instructions. This also can be found in the suitability guide, and of course it's in this presentation. We'll just glance at each one. I won't read the instructions for each one, but as you know, you have this particular presentation as a reference. And again, we have pulled this directly from the suitability guide. So just a moment to glance at those. Okay, so then I am on slide 23 responding to, or sending the response to TPM. So again, encrypted zip packages can be emailed to programintegrity@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and documents can also be faxed to 703-893-4020, and make sure to make that to the attention of services and supports review. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the outcome summary report. Now, after reviewing the documentation, TPM will provide ENs with a summary report form with a result for each Social Security number. Now, each cost review will receive one of the following results: compliant, incomplete documentation, IWP amendments, service-related problems, or non-compliant. And if IWPs were reviewed, a result will be listed as either compliant, non-compliant, with no technical assistance session required, or non-compliant, a task will be required. Now, if in the summary report, we'll talk about what compliant means. Here, what that means on slide 26 is that all requested documentation was submitted, all signatures were included for both IWP and cost forms. Services and supports provided match those agreed upon in the IWP. And minimum mandatory regular contact is being maintained and documented with date. Again, this is for compliance. On slide 27, I'll talk about incomplete documentation on the summary report. And what that means is that not all requested documentation was submitted. At least one item was missing, either an IWP, a cost,
or perhaps the case notes. The review cannot be fully completed, or there's also an E in action. Submit all the requested documentation to TPM within 5 business days. Another statement could be, this is similar to fail and complete from the previous IWP report process. Now, failure to respond to the request will be escalated to Social Security for potential termination. So these are the reasons that you may see for incomplete documentation on a summary report. On slide 28, you have
IWP amendments and what will be on the summary report for those. And EN is actively working with ticket holder and maintaining regular contact.
The services and supports being provided do not match those listed in the IWP.
And there's an EN action where IWP needs to be amended
and submitted to TPN
within 30 calendar days. If no IWP received,
the case will be escalated to Social Security and the review will be considered noncompliant. On slide 29, you have service-related problems. The EN is sporadically providing services and supports to the ticket holder. The contact with the ticket holder is inconsistent and does not meet the minimum mandatory contact requirements. Attempted contacts are individual and documented in cost and case notes. What are the EN actions needed here? Well, contact must be regained with the ticket holder
and properly documented per the new policy, as we talked about on slide 13.
Then services must be provided on a consistent basis and aligned with the IWP. A technical assistance call with program integrity may be required to review IWP best practices. So there could be some suggestions on to EN basically based on ticket holder groups. Just keep that in mind. On slide 30, we have noncompliance on the summary report. And here is where the EN,
is unable to provide a completed IWP for the ticket holder with a signature end date. The EN is not actively providing services and supports to the ticket holder. Contact has been lost with the ticket holder and no contact for over a year. No documentation is provided for contact attempts.
So what is TPM's action here? The case will be escalated to Social Security for further research and potentially unassignment.
Also, a follow-up remedial review may be conducted to ensure that actions have been taken to correct issues across all ticket assignments.
Okay, I'll go on to slide 31, IWP compliance results. So we indicated that you'll have compliant, non-compliant, no task required, non-compliant, task required. In the compliant situation, all requirements are met per the TPA and all signatures are included. Now, if you have a non-compliant with no task required, you're missing rights and remedy statements or missing discussion modality, missing business model, just a few things here or there where we'll annotate that you won't need a task. Again, simple, small things. But if you receive a non-compliant with a task is required, here you have missing required sections. The IWP is not individualized, missing signatures and dates, and an EN is unable to provide an IWP. So these are examples of non-compliance, and any of the bullets means that they fall under that particular category.
Okay, so let's conclude with some tips for success.
EANs should regularly review ticket assignment lists, unassigned tickets for those ticket holders that you're not actively working with. You want to open the review email as soon as you receive it to avoid a last-minute rush to meet the 9 business day timeline. You want to double-check to ensure all requested documents are submitted for each ticket holder. And to simplify the review process, organize documents so that it is clear which documents apply to which Social Security numbers. You also want to maintain thorough records and properly file documents to ensure quick retrieval of IWPs and case notes, as well as completion of cost statements. We also have some IWP best practices. Services and supports provided should match what is agreed upon in the IWP. If the services and supports required have changed, it is important to amend the IWP. An IWP is a living document that should grow and adapt to the changing needs of each individual ticket holder. So both the EN and the ticket holder should sign or initial any IWP amendment. And, of course, services should be individualized to a ticket holder. And IWPs should be written collaboratively between ticket holders and ENs using language from the EN's perspective. And if you're not using the current IWP template, you want to be sure to add business model, method of completion, and missing terms and conditions. And if you don't know, or I'll give you steps to locate the IWP form 1370. Again, that's on our website. You can go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and you can go to the Information Center, choose Forms, then Form 1370 under the ticket assignment. Again, you can use your own form, or, of course, just be sure to include all the mandatory points. Again, if you want to create your own template, you can certainly go ahead and do that. Just make sure that you include all of the requirements for the IWP, and you can use that 1370 as a guide, or just go ahead and use that 1370. And where do you locate the EN cost form? Also on yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, Information Center, choose Form, and then choose EN Certification of Services Statement under the Payments heading. Okay, so we've come to the end, and again, we just want to make sure that you have all this information available to you, and by now you should be able to describe the services and supports review process, as well as conform to updated contact and documentation policies. And as we just went over, locate and complete the EN cost form, and very important, you should be able to properly safeguard PII by creating an encrypted zip file. So, questions during the process, what you'd want to do is, for more information about IWPs, you want to go to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov and /web/TTW/individual work plan. So you'll find more information on our website about that. And for help with the IWPs, you can always contact the Provider Support Helpline. And those hours are Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the number is 866-949-3687. And you can also email any questions about submitting an IWP through the ticket portal, and that's through our EN systems help at yourtickettowork.sa.gov. And all other questions regarding the services and support review process can be directed to ticket.QA@ssa.gov. So I think we've reached a point that is most important. As opposed to all of this, we actually want to open this up for questions. So again, I think that's what's more important. I know that this presentation is available to you and for your reference. So we'll go ahead and open up the line for any questions you may have.
And this is Kara from Social Security. I just wanted to clear a couple things up with the mailings. We do not require contact with the beneficiaries that you're not able to get in touch with to be certified letters. You can send a first-class letter. I don't believe there's any such thing as a receipt for those. You just need to keep a copy of the letter that you sent to your ticket holders in their file, that you have a record of what you sent to them.
So, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions.
Hi, before we read a question, we do have six questions that have been flagged from the chat. Is it okay to go ahead and read those out loud now?
Yes, of course, please.
Okay, perfect. So our first question comes from Claire, who asks, as an employer who sees the ticket holder every day and doesn't document each day-to-day encounter, what type of documentation do you need, I assume, for the services and supports review?
This is Gary Rao. So I would suggest that if you see them, you ought to be keeping some kind of a log of the interactions. I mean, that in person or that type of thing is excellent, and that's obviously keeping in touch with them. So you should have some kind of a log. You don't have to have a transcript of your conversations or anything like that, but just some notations that you about the issues that you discussed, and that demonstrates you're actively working as a ticket holder.
Okay, perfect. Now we're going to move on to our next question from Mai, who just asks us to clarify if a beneficiary is not working, they should still maintain ongoing contact on a monthly basis?
Yes, if they are in the initial phases and the beneficiary is, or ticket holder rather, is not working, it's actually even more important for you to be in touch with them because the goal is to get them to self-sufficiency and to work.
All right. And then our next question is going to come from Heather Stubb, who asks, when a COS is requested on a ticket we've held for many years, how far back am I required to go?
I didn't hear the question.
John, can you repeat that?
Absolutely. So when a COS is requested on a ticket that's been held for many years, how far back is an EN required to go?
Hi, this is Jenny. We would like to see basically a summary of, you know, the entirety of the ticket. You don't need to include detailed notes all the way back to the original assignment. But the really important part is the contact records in the last, I would say, 2 or 3 years, just to make sure that you're actually still providing those services that you agreed to.
All right. And then our next question, we actually had several people ask us, how long does it take to receive a report back after responding to a review request?
Hi, this is Jenny again. There are a couple factors that would play into that, you know, depending on how large the request is from the EN, how timely we get the information from you guys. Typically, it's about 4 weeks. But if you have any questions about the length it's taking to get your information back or your results, please go ahead and email programintegrity@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and I will personally take care of that for you.
All right. And then Joyce was just curious what email address the review email request will come from.
So it'll come directly from your program integrity analyst, and there should be a CC from the program integrity at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov email address.
All right. And then David Leon asks, will COS requests show up in the portal?
They will not.
All right. And then it looks like this is the last question we have in the chat for now. Mary Lynn Revor asks, is there any consequences if after sending them a letter regarding no contact, there is still not no contact?
There's not a consequence per se, but it does depend on where you are in the process. If you are in the beginning phases and there's no contact with them, that ticket should probably be unassigned. But if you've helped this person, they're working, they're in the latter part, let's say outcomes, and they don't want any contact with you, then we would, after our review, make a decision, and most likely that ticket would stay in assignment.
All right. And we actually have a couple more questions coming in, but I'm going to go ahead and start recording those on a sheet, and we can take questions on the call while I record those.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll now take the first. We'll now take the first question on the phone lines from the line of Susan Webb. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, everybody. You know, I went through this process last year, and it turned out to be pretty painless. And I'm just curious as to what the difference is. You all asked me for copies of, I think, about 20 IWPs at that time. And even with the 20 that you requested, it would have been over 1,000 pages of case notes. And when I contacted you, you said, oh, no, no, we don't want all those case notes. And I do have, like, a summary page in our computer that talks about, that gives, like, the services that we provided and the total number of hours for each of those services. And you determined that that was okay. And the feedback I got was the only thing that was missing was that you really wanted, like, a date range. And I'm just curious if that has now changed, because that process is certainly a lot more reasonable than having us give you 1,000 pages of case notes. And so I have a two-part question. One is, how many of the IWPs are you going to request? One of my colleagues was concerned because, according to him, he had been requested to send a cause on all of his tickets, whereas for us it was only about 20. So would you clarify that for me, and exactly, like the caller before, over a number of years, but in the early stages, as you called it, Kara, that's when you're going to have a lot of case notes in that process. And so giving you pages and pages of case notes is kind of overkill.
Hi, Susan. It's Kara. We're going to give you a two-part answer to your two-part question. I'll start, and then Jenny will continue. You got 20. How we do it is it depends on the size of your EN, and we basically do a percentage of your tickets. But the smaller ENs that don't have a lot of tickets, we will ask for all of theirs just to have a valid sample to review. And also, if it's an EN that may be under a quality assurance review, we may ask for all of their ticket holders, IWPs, and costs as well.
But in general, what can we expect if we're not under any kind of a review or anything like that? What would a good EN expect to receive as far as requests for these?
I think 20 is probably a good amount for your EN.
Okay. All right. And that was doable. Now, the second part of my question.
I'm sorry, Susan. This is Jenny. You were talking about the case notes?
Yeah, I was, Jenny.
Okay. So I know you guys are a larger EN and your operations are very smooth, so you do have a really in-depth case notes management system. And if you can just do that summary, that's perfect. I know a lot of other ENs don't have those resources, but the way you guys did it is perfect. We're just looking for a summary. We don't need every single word of your conversation that you ever had with the ticket holder. But just to ensure, again, that you are providing those services and supports that you agreed to provide in the beginning.
Okay. And then on that note, one other question, and I won't tie this up for others, but I'm curious about the no contact, because in our new agreement, of course, we cannot get paid if we no longer hold the ticket. And if a person is working right now, then no problem. I mean, we can contact them every 90 days or whatever. That's not a problem. But, and like you say, if they don't respond back, that's not a problem either. We know they're out there. They know we're here. But we do have still a problem with those people that we did provide a lot of services to, and they seem to fall off the face of the earth. They don't want to respond to anything. But yet we do know that there's a very real possibility that they will go back to work. And we even send them a notice and say, hey, you know, if you don't want to participate, that's okay, you know, but just go ahead and sign this request asking us to unassign your ticket. So that way, if they unassign it, then we can still get paid if they go to work. They don't even do that. So can you elaborate a little bit on when should we unassign these tickets? How long should we give them with no contact before we say, okay, that's it, we're just going to like cut the ties on this one?
Susan, this is Carrie. I think it really depends on where you and the ticket holder are in the process, and every case is going to be different. But like I said before, if you are in the beginning stages of working with this person, they haven't gone to work yet, or, you know, they're basically in the phase ones, let's just say, milestone section of the payments, those are the ones that you probably would want to unassign because, you know, they're really not, you haven't gotten them to where you want to get them to yet. But if it's somebody like what I think what you're describing is that you've worked hard, you've helped them to get a job, they're on their merry way, and they don't really want to be bothered with you anymore, then we're not requesting that you unassign those tickets. We're just requesting that you've made done your due diligence, you've sent them out a letter, you know, your final effort. I sent them a letter. They're still not getting in touch with me. Just keep that in your file for your records. And we're not asking you to unassign those tickets at all.
Yeah, no, I understood that part, Kara. That's not really my question. My question is the opposite. And that is where we have provided all these services, and we keep sending them job leads. We tell them right from the beginning, hey, we need to communicate with you. This is a give and take. If you're job searching, you know, we're sending you job leads, but you're not communicating with us. They still don't. We have every reason to believe that that person, you know, sometimes they have a relapse and they need to have surgery or something and they're off for like 3 to 6 months. And when we have that happen, we, in our own records, put them on, you know, medical leave, and then we contact them periodically to see how they're doing. Is that okay? I mean, we know that eventually this person might succeed or contact us again, and we don't really want to close them for that reason. And then you do have contact with them, and some people just take forever to get a job. So kind of clarify for me when we ought to cut the ties on those tickets. We kind of have a six-month window of our own that we've imposed that, you know what, if you're not, you know, if you haven't contacted us in 6 months and you're still sick or whatever, we tell them that they can unassign their ticket and they can reopen it later when they're ready to job search. And sometimes that works, but without us being able to get paid when the ticket is unassigned, that's really not very fair, quite honestly.
Well, we feel it is fair, but every case is different, so it's really hard to just give you a stock answer, and we would review those cases probably here up at Social Security. But the thing is if they're not working, you're not going to get paid anyway. You know,
no,
so
I know, but when they can go to work. They can go to work. That's my point.
This is Gary, Ral. So let me add one thing in here. I think that there does need to be generally, what care we've described is that in that phase where they're trying to get a job, that's an area where we shouldn't be talking about something just be hanging around for years or whatever. That needs to be that's a process that needs to be intensive, both on your part or at least the efforts to make it so. And so, if you have, as Kara just said, if you have an internal policy that where you're continuing to try to reach out to them, and you, there may be some discretion on your part as to how long that's going to happen, and I think that the EN has to have some discretion there. What we don't want, though, and what we do see, not in your case necessarily, but and that is where somebody assigns the ticket, they can't get in touch with them, there's absolutely no contact on either end. Those need to be unassigned. If you've already put in a fair amount of effort and you're still making active attempts to contact them, then it's sort of a sliding scale. As Kara said, it depends on the situation, it depends on the EN's own business process, and so on. So,
okay. All right, I get that.
Does that help?
I get that. Uh-huh, it does. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kara. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 1. And we'll now move on to the next question from the line of Peter Travisano. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, but my question's been answered, and I just didn't have a chance to log off. So go right ahead, then. I'll yield.
Okay, great.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Pamela Cross. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. My question is centered around the new documents that were offered for us to use. One was the letter for telephone documentation, and the other one was for the certified letter. So when we go to try to download or copy to paste so that we can put our information in, it doesn't allow us to do so. So would it be a problem if we just retype the whole letter, or does it have to is there any restrictions? Because we're not able to use it and implement our name where it needs to be. To answer your question one,
that's totally fine. That's just really an example. It's not the form you have to use. So absolutely you can retype it.
Okay, thank you. And then on number two, I think you all may have already answered this, so I do not mean to be redundant. However, we have for the last year had issues with our IWP. It allows us to go in and download and then place it in a saved Word document. It allows us to go ahead and fill it out on the computer, but then it has this moment where my IT person is about to pull their hair out because then it'll stop allowing us to use it. So we're constantly having to re-download it and reload it, re-download it, reload it. So I think the answer was that it was okay for us to duplicate that form as well.
Hi, Pamela. This is Jenny. Yes, you can duplicate it. Or if you're having issues with the PDF, you can certainly email, again, programintegrity@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and we can try to work with you on that.
Okay. And then here's my last one, not to monopolize. I had a situation, I don't think anyone has even emailed us back on it, but quickly, we had a young man that we served for a long time, and he's worked for a long time, became ill, decided that he was no longer going to work because he did not want to lose his benefits because he had moved into extended eligibility. At this time, he's decided that he want to go back to work, and so he asked us to unassign him. So we did so. So after 90 days, he calls back and says, hey, I need to just go to work. I just want to go to work. Will you please sign me back up? And we're going, So we called the help desk and said, hey, this is the situation. Do we need to go through the whole process of a brand new IWP and collecting all this data from him, or could we just take what we left off, where we left off at?
You need to start over because it was an unassignment. Mm-hmm. It is considered a new assignment on our end.
Okay, gotcha. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Stacy Clark. Please go ahead. Your next question comes from the line of Stacy Clark. Please go ahead.
All right. Hi, are you there? This is Stacey Clark.
We're here.
Okay, sorry. I actually did star one because most of my questions were answered, but I did miss the beginning of this, probably one of the very important new changes in regards to the things you just were discussing, in regards to letters being sent out for beneficiaries that we haven't been in contact with, that our ticket is assigned to us. Will this training be posted, and will it be offered again? Because unfortunately, I didn't get any of the information about it.
Hi, Stacy. This is Jenny. Yes, the training will be posted online. It should already be up. And then we will also have additional trainings through EAN Development. They will add this to their monthly training. So if you really want to sit through it again, you are certainly welcome to take it again.
Okay. And I think my main question really was that big change in regards to that notification and how is it certified? Is it not? All of that is really the piece I needed. All the other stuff I've gone through, I understand. You know what I mean? That big change in regards to the contact to them. I do have several beneficiaries and tickets that unfortunately I haven't been in communication. I've tried, but they haven't responded back. Maybe I've just made a phone call. So I need to know, can I just unassign their ticket at this point, or do I need to do that letter? That's really my main question. And if you've covered that, I don't want to take up the time, so I'll go back and listen to the training.
You're more than welcome to if you want to unassign it, you do not need to send the letter. You unassign the ticket. That's your choice.
It's okay to do that without, like, having that letter out to them saying, hey, I haven't heard from you in a year. It's okay for me to do that?
Correct. It is okay.
Okay. That's really I gotcha. And then all the stuff at the beginning, I'll try to listen to it. So this training right now, is it being taped to put on there? You know what I mean, this discussion, or no?
I believe it's being recorded, and we will post it. If you want to take the training again, you can email ianoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, thank you so much.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Brian Mosley. Please go ahead.
I'm on a conference call. I'm sorry. My question was answered.
We'll now move on to the next question from the line of Karma Franco. Please go ahead. Your next question comes from the line of Karma Franco. Please go ahead. We'll move on to the next question from the line of Susan Webb. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. Gosh, it was quick. The last caller said something that I wanted to clarify. Are you guys there?
We're here.
Oh, okay.
We're here, Susan.
She asked about sending out the letter before closure. You know, I seem to recall in our contract that it does require us to notify them first that we intend to close their ticket. Am I wrong on that?
I don't think it would be nice if you did, but I don't think it's a requirement.
Okay. All right. Good. Thanks. I thought it was. I just get six in the close one, and I thought I had to warn him first. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Brian Mosley. Please go ahead.
Man, you keep calling me.
For the line of Brian Mosley, please go ahead. You're now live.
My question has been answered.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. And as a reminder, if you do have an additional question, please press the star followed by the 1. We'll now take the next question from the line of Shelley Paquette. Please go ahead.
Yes, I'm just asking about the certified letters. When we send them out, we haven't sent certified, we've sent first class, but then they come back to us, or if there is a call from the individual saying, you can stop sending me the quarterly letters, if they're working, is that sufficient documentation then to just maintain in the file?
Yes, it is.
So then we could stop sending the quarterly letters if that's the case.
If they are asking you to stop and you need a copy of that in their record as well.
We could just record that on the telephone contact log?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, if they sent this to you in an email, I would print out the email or however you keep your file, I would attach it to their file.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll now take the next question from the line of Cedric Jeffrey. Please go ahead.
Yes. First, I wanted to reach out to Jenny. She's done an on-site visit in Cleveland, Ohio. So I did told her I would mention that I did join this training. I wanted to write down also the address, how to get this information, because I would actually like to have it printed, but so I have it in my records, I can just, you know, go to the park and look at it or whatever. So how can I get this training, you know, where I can have it printed or something? Can I do that or?
Sure. Hi, this is Jenny Purdom. Jenny Abad was with you yesterday. But John Melnick, okay. Can you go ahead and put the link to the slide into the chat so everyone can just click to it?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and paste that in there again.
Thank you.
Okay. And well, that basically helps me.
Since we've had several people ask about that, I just wanted to go ahead and direct everyone to how they can locate the document on the website as well. So on yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, under the Information Center at the top, on the left-hand side, you're going to see a link that says Resource Documents. Under the third header, we have Services and Supports. And for that, you're going to see two items listed, Services and Supports Review Training, and Services and Supports Review Frequently Asked Questions. The training PowerPoint that you're looking is saved online as a PDF, as well as the Frequently Asked Questions document. And I will be posting a link to that resource documents page right now into the chat.
And there are no further questions on the phone lines. Please continue.
All right, so then I've got a series of questions that have been asked in the chat that I will go ahead and read. I'm going to start off with Ann Austin, who asked, how will we know who our program integrity specialist is?
If you don't already have a relationship or met your program integrity analyst, you can email programintegrity@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and we will certainly introduce you.
All right, and then our next question comes from Melissa Gard, who actually has two questions. Her first is, please define active contact.
It just makes sense.
Active contact would be you're actively working with these ticket holders and meeting those mandatory contact timelines. So again, if you're an initial support, it would be monthly. And if it's ongoing support, it would be quarterly.
And that's at a minimum.
At a minimum.
It can be more if you would like it to be more.
All right. And then her next question is, we often put ticket holders through short-term training to help prepare them for work and to obtain industry-recognized credentials. Do we need to maintain monthly contacts during the period of time they are in training?
Well, who's in training? I'm sorry.
The ticket holders. So they're putting ticket holders through a short-term training program.
Oh, I get it. Absolutely, yes.
All right. And then our next question comes from Peter O'Leary, who asks, what is the definition of a personalized email?
That would be an email sent directly to that beneficiary or ticket holder, I apologize, sent directly to that ticket holder addressing that person, you know, with their with whatever personal relationship you have with them. I don't, you know, everybody's IWP is different, but that should be an ongoing relationship you have with that ticket holder. It should not be a general blast like dear ticket holder with a stock email that you're just sending to everybody.
All right. And so then we've got two questions from Sherry S. Her first question is, can we put accommodations in place when ticket holders have medical issues that interrupt work and job search? For example, if a ticket holder needs to suspend their job search for surgery, can we document that we are suspending for 90 days while they recover?
Really well.
You need to document that well, yes. But that is fine.
Right.
All right.
You can put a ticket in suspense. But I will, I'm sorry, John. I do want to warn you, though, that when a ticket is in suspense, that ticket holder may be subject to a medical CDR as well.
Tara, this is Gary. I think that if they have some kind of a process where they're clearly documenting it and where they have something in their system that enables them to check after a certain period of time, that should be okay without putting it in suspense.
Yeah, that's fine. They just mentioned suspense, so I said that. But absolutely, I think the key is clearly documenting it.
All right. And then she has a second question. When we are working with a beneficiary that is in long-term education program, their experience has been that they don't want much contact until they're close to completing the program and looking for a job. So she wants to know if there's a way around the monthly contact for those individuals.
There's not. Because we,
right.
At any point, somebody could drop out of school, things can change, that you do need to have that constant contact with the ticket holder at that point.
All right. And then our next question comes from Dan Ryan, who asks, for an IWP review, what is a business model?
It is the model that you applied for in your TPA. For example, you applied to be, well, it doesn't have it in the TPA. You provide traditional services, or you may be an employer EN, or you may be an administrative EN. Some work under more than one model, with the exception of a CDS EN that is allowable, as long as that was in your business plan when you applied.
All right. And then our next question is from Angela, who asks, if working with a beneficiary and they have decided not to go beyond monthly benefits, is there a time to unassign based on the fact they are not willing to go beyond SGA?
I would advise unassigning those tickets. That means the beneficiary has no intentions of working, and therefore you're not going to make money as well, and you guys are all in business, and they're really in it to probably get the medical CDR protection. So, and that's your choice. You know, it's a choice program. The beneficiary and the EN can unassign the ticket at any time, and there doesn't have to be a reason.
All right. And then our last question in the chat comes from Jill Larmette, who asks, timely progress states ticket holders need to be in full-time credentialed education programs. Will short-term credential training impact their timely progress?
Have them email the TPR help desk.
Could you email the what is the TPR?
It's TPR help desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and they will be able to answer that for you.
All right. And we just had one final question that popped up in the chat from Nancy, who asks, just to clarify, we need to include the business model in every IWP, like a brochure of services offered.
Hi, Nancy. This is Jenny. We're actually just looking for the business model that you're operating under for that particular ticket holder. If you go online to our website, you'll be able to find the SSA Form 1370, which is the IWP template, and it has that box in there for you to fill out.
And let me just add to what Jenny's saying. There is, I know for some people this may seem tedious, but there is a good reason for it. Because like I said, certain ENs operate under more than one model. So if you may be an employer EN for three of your ticket holders and, you know, the rest you're providing traditional services for, and we need to know who you are an employer for because those are treated differently.
Yes,
and that is in your TPA.
And John went ahead and put the link to the approved template, so you can use that.
And pardon the interruption, we do have an additional question on the phone lines. May I proceed?
Yes.
Your next question on the lines comes from the line of Pamela Cross. Please go ahead. Ms. Cross, your line is fully interactive. Please go ahead.
I'm here, and we had already answered my question, so I apologize if I didn't take that away.
And there are no further questions on the phone lines. Please continue.
There are no further questions on the chat.
Well, thank you for that. I was going to check if we had any more questions in the chat, and apparently no more questions. Again, this training will be available through EN Development. Send an email if you want to, and this will also be available for you online for your reference. And again, thank you, everyone, for your participation, and I wish you a great rest of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines.